Pella 861, also from the morning agenda.
Authorize a competitive solicitation and contract with the lowest responsible bidder and provide payment for construction of the Columbia Slough Outfall 100 drainage retrofits for water quality project number E10689 for an estimated cost of $1,760,000.
Commissioner Fish.
Mayor and colleagues, we're joined today by Joe Dvorak, division engineer, and Patrick Lease, project manager. The Bureau of Environmental Services Columbia Slough Outfall 100 drainage project, there's a mouthful, is necessary to improve water quality in the Columbia Slough. It is located in the Park Rose neighborhood. This project will construct stormwater planters, stormwater filter manholes, and other infrastructure to remove pollutants. Here today to give us a brief presentation is Joe Dvorak and Patrick Lease. Gentlemen, take it away.
Great, thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Joe Dvorak. I'm with the Bureau of Environmental Services. I'll start by giving a little background on this project, which is the wrong one. This is the wrong presentation.
We just have a blank screen.
Can we put the next one in?
That was the last one.
Oh, 861. All right.
I guess you'll have to act it out.
We do have handouts, but it looks like I think we're there. Here we go. I'm sorry about that. So I'll start by giving a little background. So the Columbia Slough is a high priority DEQ cleanup site. In 2005, the DEQ issued a record of decision for slough contaminants over two.
Carla, what?
There we go.
Thank you.
Good. So this is a photo of the Columbia Slough. The Whitaker Slough contributes flow to it. So to the left of the screen is the actual Columbia Slough. Over 200 city outfalls contribute stormwater to the slough. So an outfall is a pipe that conveys stormwater to a receiving body. So Basin 100 is one of the 71 high priority areas in the Columbia Slough. A basin is basically the area that contributes flow to the outfall. So the city work to implement the record of decision is being performed under an intergovernmental agreement with the DEQ. So the goal of this project is to treat stormwater runoff from the right-of-way in Basin 100, and thereby will be complying with the 2005 record of decision and the 2016 intergovernmental agreement. And now Patrick will give some more details on the actual project.
Okay, the project, like it was stated previously, is located in the Park Rose area. This screen here actually shows the area of the project. To the south or lower part of the screen is the Park Rose Middle School. In the middle of it is the Park Rose High School. And there's just a friendly slide there showing canoers going through a slough, part of the Columbia
Slough. Looks like Bob
slough.
Salinger and his family.
Might be. Project description, we're going to construct 10 underground injection control facilities to meet stormwater requirements. We're also going to construct 12 storm filter manholes. We're also going to construct two green streets with ADA ramps. The green streets will be on Shaver, and there's a crosswalk there on Shaver, so it's going to be a bump out. And we figured that was a great place for the green streets to shorten up the distance for the crosswalk. It also helps with PBOT's Vision Zero. The picture on the far left is a picture of a UIC, which is typically the water goes into a catch basin, goes into the sedimentation manhole where the sediment falls out, and then goes into a sump, and the sump then distributes the water to underground. The next picture is just a demonstration of pretty much the same thing, but the sump's been exchanged with a filter manhole. And that will filter out the pollutants and then go right back into the storm system that's there. Public involvement, there's been a lot of public involvement for this. Public involvement outreach includes the residents, the school district, Park Rose Associates. There's been some open houses, flyers, door-to-door, and letters have been sent out to the people in the neighborhood.
How many languages did that material go out in?
That is a good question. I did invite a PI that is supporting this project, and her name is Debbie Castleton. She's right back here.
Oh, boy, we got royalty here. Debbie, can you come forward for a second? And by the way, colleagues, Debbie is the public outreach person that's pioneered a system we now use routinely at the Bureau where each affected property owner or resident gets a what looks like a flyer. It's a newsletter. On the cover is a memo from whoever has been assigned to the project. In this case, Debbie has been assigned. It's a personalized memo from Debbie with her phone number. And
not my personal number, just so you know.
It's not a personal number. But it does include her social security number and her bank account number. And the it has produced a sea change in our relationship with communities that we serve, because instead of getting a list of 8 numbers that you can call and being held on, put on hold or whatever, you can actually call Debbie and she'll answer. Debbie, the question is, how many different languages did we use out in Park Rose?
The predominant language in this neighborhood is English, but we also translate it in Spanish because there is a large Spanish-speaking population. And Stefanos Gunawan, who is on our team, is the primary lead for outreach along with myself on this project. And he actually just did he went to the Jim Pepper's Native Arts Festival. He speaks fluent Spanish as well, which is great. And he also went to the Lewitt View Park summer free-for-all movies in the park just recently. He was very successful in that. And the Gateway Discovery Park. And he's worked very closely with the Park Rose School District and had one-on-one meetings with the principal as well. But Spanish is the other primary language in the neighborhood. So those are the two languages.
I appreciate that, but I think that the number of languages spoken in that community is significantly more than just Spanish and English, but I certainly appreciate all the work that's been done to really engage communities who've not been involved.
Definitely, and we are working to, in all of the neighborhoods, find out what are the languages being spoken, and so if you have some insight, I'd greatly appreciate some more on that, because it's been difficult finding out exactly how to get those languages so we can translate more accurately.
Well, there are organizations like the East Portland Action Plan, which is a volunteer group that meets monthly in East Portland, and there's certainly more than just Spanish and English folks who participate in those meetings. I would also go directly to the organizations like Asian Family Center and ERCO and I could go on and on, but the thing is that they're kind of in that community, and
yes,
so
yes, and Stefanos and I have definitely infiltrated this neighborhood, and specifically in the area of the construction impact and the design impact, the specific homes and residents, the apartment buildings and the school right there has been predominantly Spanish and English. But I do agree the overall Park Rose area is much more than just Spanish and English.
Well,
but
in fact,
that
I think
the
last
area.
Time I was at Park Rose High School, I think they said there were 46 different languages spoken. Now, some of them were multiple dialects of the same language. So there's like multiple dialects of Cambodian, for example. And we do translate our materials into different languages. And we have, I just approved a Riverviews that's going out that had multiple languages.
Yes.
So we can always do better, and we'll follow up
on
the Portland Action Plan. That's a good suggestion.
Yeah.
Commissioner
Thank
Fritz.
You.
And something that was, I think you do in Parks, Commissioner Fish, is on the back of the flyer, you say in the languages, if you need this translated into X.
On all of our stuff.
Into the,
everything.
To the 10 safe harbor languages, right?
Yes.
And then the other thing for my colleagues to be aware of is when I was in charge of the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, we were working on a project so that what is now Civic Life, would have a list of what languages to use, depending on, I don't know whether that's still being worked on or not, but it seems like each organization shouldn't have to do all of that outreach, that we should have it.
Agreed.
Right. And didn't we used to have a civic engagement, city civic engagement committee?
We do. We still do the Public Involvement Advisory Council.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
The budget for the project, is $1.6 million, is the engineer's estimate. We plan to begin construction in April of 2020, and we're hoping that the construction will take no longer than 6 months. Any questions?
That concludes our presentation, Mayor.
Very good. Any public testimony on this item, Carla?
No one else signed up.
Very good. This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. Thank you for the presentation. It moves to second reading.
Thank you.